providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to really focus almost exclusively on the precious metal sectors. We are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, we usually chat on Tuesdays, but I'm glad we left this one to the end of the week because, well, there was quite the swings happening in precious metals. We got to Tuesday and silver started to move. And then Wednesday, boy, oh boy, gold moved higher. The gold stocks moved higher. Silver moved higher. Silver stocks moved higher. Everybody, all precious metals investors, especially that we talked to, they were excited. They were calling breakouts. They were calling a lot of things that unfortunately weren't exactly true on the charts. It was nice to see the volume bump. That was something that it really sticks with me, that we did see an increase in volume. But as we're now recording this late in the day on Friday, gold looks like it's going to close the week up about $10. The gold stocks or GDX, that's still going to be up maybe a couple percent this week, but nowhere near these breakout euphoric calls that we were getting just on Wednesday. Dave, what's your takeaway from this week when it comes strictly to the moves in the precious metals?
Yeah, Corey, we were whipsawed yet again. Well, not we, but traders were whipsawed yet again this week in the gold price. I was watching it take place on, like you mentioned in the lead up here, that silver had that big move on Tuesday. And I was very encouraged by that because the gold price was down that day. The stock market was down that day and the dollar was up huge. And yet silver made this huge 50-cent move up. And I said, well, that's got to be a tell for something. And sure enough, the next day, the gold price zoomed through 1835 resistance, which had been pretty stiff resistance for the past few months. But it did so on the the very confusing press conference that President Joe Biden held at the White House, where he basically said, it looks like Russia's going to invade. They can invade a little bit, but if they go in whole hog, then they're going to suffer consequences. Like, huh? And as soon as that took place, that's when the gold price got above 1835 and started to move towards stiffer resistance at 1850. And the silver price continues to lead. That's also very bullish in the longer term here, is silver is leading this move. And it's still holding most of its gains, although the gold price moved off and it could not even close above that stiff resistance at 1835 on a weekly basis. And as soon as whoever bought the shares after that move on Wednesday, they're taking their profits. The miners moved right back down again when they saw that was taking place. So basically, a lesson here for anybody in this sector is that you never have much faith in a saber-rattling geopolitical move in the gold price, because it's usually sold off. And that's exactly what's happened here, especially when we're going into a very important Federal Reserve meeting next Wednesday. I know we say that every month, every Fed meeting, how important they are. But this one is super important because the market is waiting to see how the Fed is going to telegraph these rate hikes and this bond buying program that is expected to wrap up now in March. And a rate hike is over 90% priced in now. So the market is nervous about how they're going to roll this out, and they're selling their stocks. Because now you have the NASDAQ officially in correction territory, down over 10%. And before, you were seeing some rotation. You know, you were seeing the gold stocks being bought while the market was going down. But not today. The miners are going down with the stock market as they're breaking some support levels. The NASDAQ has broke its October low, so it's made a lower low. And the S&P is trying to hold its 200-day moving average. The Dow's already lost its 200-day moving average. So investors are getting nervous here into Fed speak. So it's going to be interesting how this is all going to shape out next Wednesday.
David, it is going to be interesting to see what the Fed says next week. I just want to back up, though, to the middle of this week when everybody was so jubilant. Uh-huh. And also point out that people don't need to be too depressed today just because there's a sell-off, because I think what's happening is wild swings in both directions and emotions and sentiment, and everybody's looking to find out who done it. Because when we talk to people throughout the week, some people mentioned that all the commodities were racing higher in the face of a stronger dollar, which was unusual. And I wouldn't expect to see that on a Ukraine an invasion narrative, you know, even if it's only a partial invasion. And there's also the narrative that, hey, these things were oversold. They needed to bounce technically. Okay, fine. But I'm going to back up to just all the discussions we were having in December. And I guess even though it's not a popular idea, we've talked forever about there being a really bad tax loss, the worst tax loss many people had seen in a long time. And then a month later, a lot of those people are now past their 30-day wash period and buying in. Couldn't some of the support in the market, since it happened in silver first and then gold and in the mining stocks and in a lot of other commodities, by the way, couldn't all of that be tied into some of this tax loss buying and the seasonally strong month of January that we normally see? And because it's the strongest one of the whole year, January, couldn't some of that just be tax loss selling, technical maneuvering? Does it have to have a narrative attached to it?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. I mean, especially when you see that volume spike. I mean, that volume spike on Wednesday was just as high as it was when during the last Fed speak, FOMC meeting Fed speak, when we had a strong reversal off of September bottoms in the GDX, the GDXJ, the SIL, the SILJ, and silver. Silver double bottomed at exactly 21.41. And the GDX and GDXJ and those other ETFs, they appeared to have double bottomed at their September lows as well. And that was huge volume that day. And we also saw a huge volume on Wednesday, and this and the subsequent sell-off from the huge spike on Wednesday is half the volume of that day. So I do think that there is something in what you just laid out. I think there are sector professionals that are getting back into these quality juniors, but we still need to get the generalist investor in the sector on a bigger scale. You know, we've talked about in the past few discussions about how they're coming into Newmont, how they're coming into Barrick. And Newmont is bifurcated and is leading the sector higher. And let's face it, I mean, the gold market has been in an uptrend since the last Fed speak. It's making higher highs, it's making higher lows, and so are the gold stocks. So it might not feel like it, but they are making headway. And we know that in the past, the sector has made major bottoms around the beginnings of Fed rate hike cycles. I mean, it happened the second phase of the secular bull market began with a rate hike cycle in late 2015. The actual bull market, the first phase of the bull market, which started way back in 1999, that kicked off with a rate hike cycle as well. And also we know that in the past, that during other inflationary periods, the gold sector has lagged the commodity sector during the first half, and then it outperforms in the second half. I mean, I did something kind of crazy myself during the last time we had an inflationary period between 2003 and 2008. The gold stocks were consolidating from 2003 to 2005. Their huge move that they'd made, and I sold my house and I put all the proceeds into junior miners. And luckily it turned out well for me as the gold price zoomed higher at the back end of that inflationary period into 2008. And the same thing happened back in during the major inflationary period back in the 70s. The gold price did the same thing. It lagged the commodities at first, and then it outperformed them in the second half. But also something to note during the second half of that move was a similar situation that's taking place when we talked about the Russian-Ukrainian situation. Well, the tail end of the gold bull market in the 70s, Russia invaded Afghanistan, and that is what was the catalyst that took the gold price to the blow-off top at 850. The gold price popped on expectation of this taking place, and I'm starting to believe that it will take place, because basically Biden's opened the door for Putin to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see what the gold price does. I mean, God forbid that it happens. I do not want to see that. I do not want to have the gold price go higher on a Russian invasion of Ukraine. But if it does take place, it's going to be interesting to see what the gold market does and how long the gains will be held if it does go higher.
Dave, what do you take away from the environment, too, of all commodities moving higher? And gold, in all fairness, is still kind of lagging all the other commodities, but wasn't just a precious metals move. And quite frankly, all commodities, base metals, energy, have all been doing quite well. How does that fit into the overall environment?
Yeah, I mean, they're very overbought. Let's face it. I mean, most of these sectors are very overbought. These other metals that we've been talking about, they're overbought. Some of them are extreme overbought. The commodities are extreme overbought. Oil's getting extreme overbought. But the one thing that's not extreme overbought is the gold sector. I mean, it continues to trade sideways while the miners continue to get sold. So this is a sector that you want to accumulate and you want to be in when the gold market finally does go up because of this inflation that the Fed is admitted they're behind the curve on. And even if they do start raising interest rates, they can't raise them too much because there's a little thing of $30 trillion of debt that hanging there. And let's face it, the unemployment situation is not getting any better. So I don't see how they can aggressively raise rates. But, the market is starting to price in that they're going to do so. And we're going to find out more next Wednesday.
Dave, another thing I was considering earlier in the week is that with the general market weakness, some of that is probably jitters about these Fed rate hikes and about this Fed meeting. But there was a pretty big volume and rotation into some of the senior producers across mm-hmm. the board. I mean, many were up double digits. When you looked at companies like Hecla, Coeur, Force Majestic, it was interesting to see just how big of a bid they were getting, and it was on big volume. So do you think that was an early sign of some people maybe just putting a little bit in the sector because they were looking to pull profits in the general markets and maybe just rotate a small portion into this tiny sector?
Oh, I do. And you see it in the weakness in the general equities, which is what we've been waiting for because we need to have some of that sector rotation come in to the mining stocks. And they are holding up better than the juniors here. And like I said, the move down the last 2 days is on much lower volume. So I do think that some of that move was sector rotation. And I expect that sector rotation to continue.
So, Dave, what are you doing within your portfolio? What are you telling to your subscribers in terms of buying, selling, and what style of companies are you interested in if you are buying right now?
Well, since late last year, I rotated out of drill plays that had yet to define a resource. I'm still exposed to that sector with warrants that have yet to expire in a few companies. And I do have one other drill play that is basically a free ride. I took my original investment out of it after it tripled. So it's a no risk situation, but I've been basically scaling into what the majors, the type of juniors that the majors have been accumulating. And that is single asset juniors, de-risking high margin projects that are in the later stages. You know, that's basically what the majors are concentrating on. And it doesn't make much sense to me to take a chance on some of these drill plays that have yet to define a resource that are much higher risk when you have these other companies that are de-risking these high margin projects. They're district scale size. They're in good jurisdiction. They have great management. They're cashed up. They've already proved up all these ounces in the ground and they're at the later stage of doing so. Those are on sale. So it doesn't make much sense to me to take a chance on drill plays right here. So I've been doing that, and I invested into my last one earlier this week. So I'm basically walking my talk here, and I'm pretty much all in. I don't have any cash left because I think a major bottom is being created here. It has been doing so since last September.
All right, Dave. Boy, oh boy, was it ever an interesting week. And that's why I'm also telling everybody that's listening on the radio or just listening to the weekend show, be sure to go back through our website throughout this week because we had a lot of comments both from analysts and company updates covering some of those moves in the markets. Plus, again, a lot of news that came out of companies that we are following closely. So, Dave, everybody, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend show. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. And, well, let's follow up next week because there's a lot of stuff happening next week that will undoubtedly continue this volatility. Dave, again, thanks for your time this weekend.
Thank you.